Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. This is from the Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Worship. Reverent devotion and allegiance pledged to God. The rituals or ceremonies by which this reverence is expressed. The English word worship comes from the Old English word worth, W-O-R-T-H, ship, worth-ship, a word that denotes the worthiness of the one receiving this special honor or devotion. Again, that's from Nelson's New Illustrated Bible Dictionary. Reverent devotion and allegiance to God. Revelations chapter 4, verse 11. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Psalm 95, verse 6 and 7. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture, the flock under His care. Worship. What comes to your mind when you hear the exhortation, worship the Lord? Think through the centuries. As brothers and sisters in Christ have gathered as the church to worship. What did they mean when they gathered to worship the Lord? Music has changed through the centuries. Building designs have changed too. Clerical garb has changed, just as the clothing of the worshipers has changed through the years. Many here may remember the saying, put on your Sunday best. It meant a suit and a tie for the men, hat and gloves for the woman in dresses. And as a little boy, I would have to wear a tie with those good old clip-on. Excuse me, I'd have to wear a suit with those good old clip-on ties. Do you all remember trying to clip a tie on? Or as soon as you could, yanking it off. But you know, that's what it used to be, put on your Sunday best. Worship went through changes from the Old Testament times of Abraham on a hill, calling upon the Lord, to the making of the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, and all the holy things required for worship in the wilderness. A temple would be built, destroyed by invaders, and Israel was exiled. Synagogue worship came into being during the exile in Babylon and the diaspora. Israelites returned from exile, and a second temple was built, which was the temple at the time of Jesus. Now, with the coming of Christ as the Lamb of God to be that perfect sacrifice for sin, sacrifices at the temple were no longer central to the expression of the worship of the Lord God Almighty. There would be no more sacrifices, for the perfect sacrifice happened on Golgotha, on a cross outside the city wall. Yet the heart of the believers knew they had to worship. Worship was vital to their faith. They could not be a community of faith without worship as the community of faith. They could not be disciples of the living God without worship. They continued to meet, sometimes in the temple, sometimes in homes. And in these times together, the believers would pray, sing hymns, read scripture. They'd also read the letters that were being circulated, like from Paul or Peter. There would be teaching from the scripture that was read. just as it was done in the synagogue. Remember, Jesus went home to Nazareth, and the scroll of Isaiah was placed before him, and he read from Isaiah 61. He sat down and he began to teach, saying, "Today this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing." The early believers would also break bread, following the Lord's command, "Do this in remembrance of me." Worship in the catacombs. Worship in the hills. Worship in secret and hidden places for fear of the authorities. Worship in jail cells. Worship in great cathedrals. Worship on the seas. Worship. Worship is the heartbeat and the lifeblood of the community of faith. The gathering as the church, the body of Christ, brothers and sisters united in heart and mind and soul to reverence the Lord Almighty. It is so important. It's beyond words how important this is. For we come together for one thing, to be in the presence of God, giving God our full attention. And we have this promise from Matthew 18, verse 20. "For where two or three come together in my name, there am I with them." David is dancing. He's dancing with all his might before the Ark of the Covenant. Never mind that this is the King of Israel, and he's lost in total abandon before the Lord. The Ark of the Covenant was coming to Jerusalem. The priests lift the ark by the carrying poles. They take six steps and then they stop. David sacrifices a bull and a fatted calf. The journey starts with an offering of sacrifice. Then for the rest of the journey, David goes before the ark in such joyous celebration, praising and honoring the Lord. David dances. You see, this is a huge moment in the life of Israel. To Jerusalem comes the ark. The Ark of the Covenant is also known as the Ark of the Testimony. The cover of the Ark of the Testimony is the atonement cover, also known as the mercy seat. And this is what the Lord said concerning that place. Exodus chapter 25, verses 21 and 22. I'm reading from the NASB translation. "You shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark. And in the ark you shall put the testimony which I will give you." That's the Ten Commandments. Go in the ark. "I give you." And then the Lord says, "There I will meet you. And from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you about all that I will give you in commandment for the sons of Israel. The mercy seat. The atonement cover. God said, "There I will meet you." So the Ark of the Covenant, the place that God will meet you, is coming to Jerusalem. And before it, David is dancing in worship. What David did was in the presence of the Lord. For the Lord. He told his wife Michal that his dancing was before the Lord, who chose him, who chose David to rule over the people Israel. And he will celebrate before the Lord. He will do all that he can to worship and honor the Lord. laying aside all pride, laying aside all dignity. He will do anything it takes to honor and worship the living God. Now, rest assured, I am not asking you to dance today. I'm not even going to ask you to lift your hands and clapping and praising. If you want to, if you feel moved, go right ahead. It's welcome. But what I'm trying to draw you to is an essential attitude that's just necessary for worship. The attitude of worship being in the deepest part of ourselves. The attitude as being a believer, you want to honor and reverence the Lord. Being a believer, like that classical understanding of the word, fear the Lord, full of awe, full of wonder, covering the eyes and bowing down in trepidation as you marvel at the glory of the Lord. And yet you rise up because you have great joy for the forgiveness of sin given you through the Son, Jesus Christ. Worship from the very deepest part of your being, where you know the Lord is Lord, and you will worship with all your heart. Your heart will burn with faith that just compels you to worship. Compels you, I will gather with my brothers and sisters in Christ to worship, to celebrate before the Lord. I will gather and I'll give all my might to worship before the Lord with all my soul, with all my heart. I will worship before the Lord with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Worship is about coming before the Lord. Worship is about reverently humbling ourselves before the Lord, our God and Maker. But our human frailties and weaknesses make worship about other things, such as music, clothing. Whether we like the pastor or the pews are comfortable or uncomfortable, or there's folding chairs, theater lights, chandeliers, grape juice, wine, baked bread, communion wafer, keyboard, pipe organ, vaulted ceilings like a cathedral, room too hot, room too cold. I could go on, and I bet you could too, with a huge list of things we've heard at one time or another through the years. But none of these things, none of them are the focus of worship. Could you worship sitting on a dirt floor in a small, stuffy room, light from a single candle? Could you worship the Lord that way? Brothers and sisters in Christ do in the underground church with curtains drawn so that even that candlelight can't be seen outside. And they worship. Could you worship in a field under a tree with dust and bugs buzzing about after walking hours to get there? Brothers and sisters in Christ do as they worship on the African plains. I could draw more pictures to help you see that worship is not about the place or the style or the format. Worship is about turning our full attention to the Lord. All aspects of what we do when we gather as brothers and sisters in Christ, we do to reverence and give praise to the Lord. When we sing, sing unto the Lord with all your heart. and with full attention from your heart. It's okay to sing off key. Sing off key with great exuberance, for you're singing unto the Lord in worship. Strum away on that guitar, though you don't know the chords, because you're worshiping the Lord. Beat away on the drum, pound the piano, sing your heart out, for all you are doing, do it unto the Lord. Perfection is not what makes worship, but a heart offering all one has, imperfections and all. It is putting your life and your soul into what you're doing before the Lord. Now, I want to take this home to your heart. And I have a question for you to really wrestle with. Singing, prayer, reading Holy Scripture, listening to the preacher, that's easy to understand as worship. The question I want you to wrestle with is, how well do we understand the offering is also worship? Singing. I'm singing praise to the Lord. I'm praying to the Lord. I'm preaching. I trust the word of the Lord by His power, not mine. But when the plate comes, it's a time for you to respond in a concrete way. That's also worship. When that offering plate comes down the row and you reach for it, what feeling comes to your soul? Think long and hard here. Through the years, I have heard many express the understanding that giving offering is so the church can pay the bill. Rarely do I hear giving offering is worshiping the Lord. But it is. I'm speaking about spiritual things here that concern your heart and your soul so that you can go deeper in worship. The offering is worship also. Worshiping the Lord our God. This is worship. As you place your offering in the plate, you can sing with all your might, Lord, I give you my heart. As you're placing that offering in the plate, Lord, I give you my soul. I live for you alone. Every breath I take, every moment I'm awake, Lord, have your way in me. That's what you're doing in the offering, is you're worshiping by placing yourself in the offering plate too. You see, it's worship. Everything we do here is in worshiping the Lord. Everything. Because we've come to be in the presence of God, the one true God, maker of heaven and earth. The Father sent the Son to save us from sin, redeemed by the compassion and grace of God, given the Holy Spirit to be within us, to make a home for the Father and the Son, so they dwell in us. The God, fullness of God, dwells in us. And so we respond in worship. Worship the Lord. Worship the Lord for all the wondrous things He has done. Worship the Lord with all your might, all your soul, all your strength, all your resources, everything about you. Worship the Lord. It doesn't matter what other people think. Sing off key with exuberance. Play that guitar, beat those drums, play the organ. It doesn't matter if you miss a note because you're doing it before the Lord. Worship is to take your very presence, the deepest part of you, and open it wide before the Lord and say, I worship you, Father. I worship you, Lord Jesus Christ. I praise you, Holy Spirit. I give you my all because you are God. And I love you. Amen.